Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was thinking, in the scary movie of your life, how would you die? I'm thinking,
I wouldn't.
Welcome to Scream Queen, a podcast about scary movies.
From people not typically depicted in scary movies. I was thinking I wouldn't want to go out like, I wouldn't want an extra gruesome death, but I don't want to go out like a punk way. You know, I don't want to just get stabbed. Like, I'm thinking about the sandwich machine in the Fear Street movie, you know, something like that, but on my nuts.
What? What the fuck is wrong with you? You heard it here. Tommy wants his nuts sandwiched.
I'm just saying, you know, like a hatchet to the face. Like, that's so tired, you know, just getting stabbed. Oh, did anyone ever get taken out in a garbage disposal?
You know what? There's a lot of movies where you think the garbage disposal is going to go off, but then something else happens.
That was H2O.
Oh, that happens in H2O. It happens in, there's a movie called Ghost in the Machine. It happens in that.
There was a blender in You're Next. That homegirl took out that lady in the end with a blender.
Oh, yeah, to her head, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was really good.
Maybe I'll get a blender head. Maybe that's me. Can I get a blender on my genitals?
You can do whatever. What? You can do whatever you want to do. But yeah, I'm not dying.
All right, well, Drea is the final girl. I'm finally dead.
Maybe I'll be the killer.
That's
want me to blend in your nuts?
That's more what it is.
I'm blending your nuts.
You're actually the killer. So this episode of Scream Queen, we're doing our No Tell Motel episode where we debut a new segment. We get into Drea's favorite hotel. And we end with a Scream Queen for the American Horror Story gods.
All right. So, Tommy, take it away.
Once again, in this new season, we've decided to introduce a new segment. This one is called Why This Bitch Ain't Dead Yet, which is kind of a counter to our Pour One Out, or even to our final Scream Queen, which is somebody who lived way longer than they should have. I'm nominating Lady Gaga as the Countess in American Horror Story Hotel. Now, I'm going to come out with a controversial opinion as a gay man. I don't hate Lady Gaga, I don't wish her ill will, but I'm not a fan. I remember like way, way, way back in the day, you know, when she first came out with her like really supremely brushed hair and it was like blonde and platinum and she had the glasses and that was like the
poker
weird
face.
Thing. Yeah, I was like, that's interesting. And then as she like snowballed, I was a little bit less interested. You know, and again, no ill will, no hate.
I do think she's talented because when she sings like soul and shit, we've talked about this. When she sings that, like that kind of stuff, like R&B, like I believe that. Mm-hmm. When she starts doing all that pop shit, I'm like, you know what? And then she started really feeling herself when she started acting.
Yeah. And I'm not, oh God, I'm going to get so many DMs from this, but I'm, you know, I didn't like Shallow? A Star Is Born. I wasn't really into that. I thought the first half of that was great. And then the second half, I was like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like the beginning of her and the drag queens and all that kind of stuff.
She can act.
That was good. I was almost okay with that. And then it kind of like, you know, but that we're not here to talk about Lady Gaga. I'm just talking about the Countess, this vampire. She's like, you know, in the penthouse of this hotel. She hung on way too long. I mean, that season was messy. I thought it was ambitious. I mean, it was same thing with any American Horror Story. Like, I feel like it started out with an interesting premise and it kind of petered out. It got kind of corny at the end. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, I was out by like the second episode, I think. This happened around the time of the Hotel Cecil. So when this came out, I thought it was going to be about the Hotel Cecil, and it wasn't.
I thought it was so transparently inspired by.
That's where they got the idea. And they filmed it just a few blocks away on Olive Street, like right on 7th and Olive. It fell apart. Didn't make no sense. Who are these little white babies running around everywhere? Who are these children of the damned? Like, they're just everywhere.
There's somebody in the mattress.
When that homeboy got it up the ass, that was awful. Like, what the fuck? I remember seeing that. I'm like, how is this on TV right now? And I'm not that squeamish.
I will say that Sarah Paulson did a really good job of looking like a lady who stuck her finger in an electric socket.
she just got that crimper out.
Yeah, did.
She got her 1980s crimper out and she went to town.
That was her real hair too. Because I remember she talked about on a talk show, she was like, yeah, imagine getting milk from the store after a hard day's work with that hair.
You put a hat on that hair.
Right. But I mean, the Countess, I don't know. I liked Angela Bassett's character a lot more, probably because it was Angela Bassett. But like the Count, I just felt like it was stunt casting for sure. Ryan Murphy was like, and it's Lady Gaga. And everyone was like, no way. And she really got to, I mean, I will say it looks like she's really enjoying herself.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really chewing the scenery. Just that character was so, I don't know, there was some smarmy about it, something just so, ugh, I
didn't believe it.
No, I was just, why this bitch ain't dead yet?
Yeah. What episode did she die in?
I think she died in the very last episode.
Oh, she made it all the way to
the
end?
And they all come together around her little thing, and it's all corny, and they're all saying goodbye to her, even though she betrayed and did dirty every single one of those people. I didn't understand why they're all coming to do a love fest at the end. I was just like, you're a vengeful bitch. So, for this episode's Why This Bitch Ain't Dead Yet, it's Lady Gaga as the Countess in American Horror Story Hotel. For me.
And me.
Okay.
All right. Our main discussion, we're covering the Hotel Cecil doc on Netflix. I have my own weird connection to this documentary because I have been living in LA since that they found Elisa Lam in the water tower. And I frequent downtown LA, you know, even before I lived down there. I just love that neighborhood. At the time when it happened, I was living in Echo Park. And now it's my backyard.
Yeah. I mean, you could see the Hotel Cecil from Drea's balcony.
Yeah. And you could see the water tower that they found her in. And I'm pretty sure it's closed now. I don't see that sign like the Stay on Main or anything. I'm pretty sure they've completely shuttered that whole place. Like, I don't think I've seen anybody come in and out of
like
there.
Like since Corona?
Since the doc came out, and maybe since Corona too, yeah. What I mainly took from this documentary, and you know what I really thought the whole time? When you get to become like your own YouTube investigator or your Google investigator, you know, like, you get to put your own two cents into a story and you want so much more out of it. There has to be a conspiracy, you know, and how quickly people can just bite on to something, just the inkling of an idea like, ooh, this must be foul play. When I saw the video of her in the elevator, yeah, it looked weird. But what I really thought was like, well, there's weird ass drugs downtown. So she could have easily just taken something and just been out of her mind, wandering the halls. That's not that unbelievable. But of course, people wanted to believe like she was running from somebody. I'm like, nah, she's not running from anybody. She's clearly not stable.
But what made her case, I assume, or I think, like such fodder for armchair detectives and internet activists and stuff like that, was that she did have a whole Tumblr blog. So she had like this internet viewable life heading into this, where she talked about depression and being lonely and wanting to escape and getting out, and you know, and she was publicly putting out things like, I'll be in LA, I'll be here, I'll be there. So there was a paper trail of sorts that I think made her character very compelling, and why I think people wanted to believe there was something more going on than, I mean, the simplest answer is that she took herself out, right? But there was the complication of initially they were like, oh no, somebody put the cat back on the water tower or whatever. Like that there was some kind of ambiguity there about who could she have been with and who was in the elevator with her and who was she walking with or walking towards or whatever. But the actual tale ends up being a lot more pedestrian and a lot sadder.
Yeah. What it gets into is, well, it gets into mental health. And if you go to any metropolis, you will see the decline of mental health on those streets.
Yeah.
It is rampant. And it's sad to be around. And it's also, it's life. And I'm not gonna turn my head to it. I'm also upset that it even exists. Like, people should not have to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, if billionaires paid fucking taxes.
So many things need to be corrected. I understand, like, they had an idea of who this person was, but I myself am bipolar. I was diagnosed when I was 15. So I understand red flags and warning signs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I ultimately got from her Tumblr was, yeah, this girl is reaching out for help. She wanted to prove something to herself when she made that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up in San Diego, of all places, first, which is interesting, our town, and then made her way back up to LA. I did something similar. I went all the way to Europe by myself when I was 18, and just to prove to myself that I could be out there in the world and do something. Thankfully, I was just a little bit more with myself. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, as soon as you go off those meds, like, it will take you down some really weird paths. Like, you have no idea mm-hmm. how dark your mind can get. And when you take these drugs, they are so heavy. So if you try to just go cold turkey off of them, your body, like, can almost go into shock.
I did. Well, I went off Lexapro.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell people that it felt like, I always pictured it like a skeleton, like death, literally death, like touching my shoulder, mm-hmm. because it would, like, set off these electric shocks in my body. Like, these are not to be played with.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. Not at all. They can cause seizures and death, and it's not a joke. So, yeah, she was out here trying to make some sense of the world, and it just, in a world that is not very comforting to those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only in the last couple of years has it become more of a open topic, us discussing our mental health. And, I mean, this happened about, was this 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago? It wasn't a topic like that. Nobody was speaking of it. And that wasn't that long ago. And so she, you know, of all the places to end up, you know, what an unfortunate place for her to end up. It's just a bummer.
What about the lore of the Hotel Cecil?
There's just bad vibes there, you know, and it's been like that for who knows how long. We know about the Night Stalker was there, and then the guy who imitated the Night Stalker ended up there. But there was deaths before that in the 50s. You know, people jumping out of windows. There was so many things that just never even got reported, I'm so sure.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in bad energy, and I think there's something off about that place.
Mm.
Like, I mean, I don't even like to walk in front of that hotel. I'll cross the street before I walk in front of it. I won't even...
Oh, okay.
Actually, today I saw somebody get mugged right in front of it.
Well, what did you think of the hotel clerk or the manager, that lady?
I mean, incompetent.
Yeah. She looked a little like... Somebody could die in front of her and she'd be like, eh. You know?
She straight up said in the documentary, like, I mean, this is just what happens here. It's just what happens. I can see some potential here. It's going to come back. Like, no, bitch.
It did seem to me, rather, that if you were going to be the manager of a place like the Hotel Cecil, there's got to be something dead inside you. Because the things that you're liable to see in any given night.
It's like that, or... You're just really aloof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even think there's something dead in her. I just think that woman is just, like, so clueless.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so she was the perfect person for the job. And there are people for that job who could just accept the fact that, oh, yeah, another person's acting erratic in our hotel. The thing is, there is a certain amount of truth to that. I mean, that hotel is right next door to Skid Row. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that frequent there, the people that come by there... They, you know, they typically, you know, they said in the documentary, they use it just to have a little party, to do what they need to do and get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no track. They don't keep track of anything. How is that even a business, you know?
Because they have a very grandiose lobby. I feel like the lobby makes you set up for a different experience.
It's very strange that they would do it like that. And then the rest of the place looks like a prison. Certain floors, I think you have to share bathrooms and shit like that. It's, like, very weird.
But that's why I got... American Horror Story Hotel vibes, because it had similarly a very grand lobby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unmistakably a reference to the Hotel Cecil.
Yeah.
And that means Kathy Bates character would have been homegirl.
Yeah.
as a documentary, I mean, not just as the subject matter, but as a documentary, how effective do you think The Vanishing of the Caesar Hotel was?
It was good. It was really good. I'm done with this story, finally. I think that's what this documentary did for me. Like, I don't need to wonder anymore. It's just tragic how that shit went down. But ultimately, what you find out is there was a lot of weird coincidences. Mm-hmm. There was a disease in the hotel called Lamilisa, which, what the fuck is that about? That's very weird. Mm-hmm. But the cap on the water tower was not put back on. And that's what confirms to everybody, like, oh. And, you know, the just little things like, oh, they said her body was up instead of down when somebody typically drowns. And it's like, but the water fluctuates. So mm-hmm. she could have easily gotten moved around, you know, and and she didn't have any wounds or scars or bruises. I think she was just
in an altered state.
And she was in an altered state. And I know that feeling. And she probably felt invincible and somehow ended up on that water tower and then wanted to go for a swim or some shit. Mm-hmm. She might have been up there looking for a pool mm-hmm. and ended up in there and then couldn't get her way out. I don't think she killed herself.
I will say, as a person who lived in New York at the time, it did not penetrate our consciousness the way that it did for people who lived in Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm sure. So they took it off the news after 2 to 3 weeks. You did not hear the story anymore, which was, and everybody noticed that here too. We're like, what happened to that story? And it wasn't until like a year later that they brought it up again.
To be honest with you, I didn't even know about it, really. I mean, I think I know about it a little bit because you or like Becky would talk about it, but it wasn't like something that I was aware of happening that people were invested in on the internet. So it seems like a phenomenon for Los Angeles.
Yeah, very much so.
And was it like something that you would talk about at parties with people? Was it casual conversation? Like, yeah. How much did it penetrate like the public conversation here?
You know, we had friends who wanted to stay there. We had contemplated like getting rooms there, and I had friends who did that. You know, they would just party for the night and go there, and I was like, I'm good. I don't think I want that energy. Mm. You know, but yeah, it was just certain friends of mine who share similar interests. It was a crazy subject. The fact that happened, people were drinking this water that it was. Flesh that ended up in their fucking water and they drank it. And like, it's fucking gnarly.
For those of you who can't see me, which is everybody, I made a weird face.
the guy who said he wants his nuts freaking sandwich made a weird face.
Who that? I will say that the TV show that I'm working on right now, I proposed a storyline that had to do with murder tourism because of the Hotel Cecil doc. Because the people would go there to stay there to like have their pictures taken there, like da 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 da. And so there were some murders in the town. And I was like, what if there was like a tourism that based on these murders that like overtook the town? And so I think it might make it into the show. So if it does, I'll you know, it was directly inspired by this documentary.
So ultimately, I mean, how did you feel about it?
I felt like as a subject matter, insanely compelling. The simplest explanation was the right one. As a documentary, I think, and I don't know because I wasn't here when this happened, so I don't know how sensational it actually got, mm-hmm. but the documentary series itself seemed very sensational.
Yeah.
Like, it was really digging into every inch of these conspiracy theories, and it got criticized online for that, for sensationalizing it and like taking it, the human element out of it and taking Alyssa out of the story and focusing on the conspiracy theories. But it seemed like that was the natural human tendency at the time.
I thought it felt accurate. They were able to, in 4 episodes, give you the vibe of how, that's what it did feel like. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I wasn't one of those people online doing any research. I looked at the video several times. I just didn't feel the need to get involved with it to that degree.
Yeah.
But I was still intrigued, and it was in the air. People were very aware of this story, and clearly they were able to come up with this documentary. And I had no idea how much it affected so many people, because I didn't take it to that, you know, that far. I had my limits.
Yeah. And so as a documentary, I thought it did a really good job mm-hmm. of explaining what that time was like and what it was like for people. But like, I don't think it was there to tell Alyssa's story. It was there to tell a story about the spectacle.
Yeah.
And I think it did that very well.
Yeah, because how much of Alyssa's story can they really tell? I mean, all they can do is read from that Tumblr and kind of piece things together, but they really can't tell her story.
Yeah. So, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
All right, everybody. We're going to end the show as we always do with our Scream Queen of the Week. This week, we've got Gabri Sidibe as Queenie in American Horror Story Coven. She's in American Horror Story Hotel. And she completes this journey in American Horror Story Apocalypse. Now, I've got to tell you, I really didn't get into the American Horror Stories. I mean, I remember back in the day when the first American Horror Story came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, this is weird. That man's in a suit. Did he fuck that dude with a poker? Like, it was very gory and violent, but also very gay. And I was like, I guess I'm here for this.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't sit through an entire series until American Horror Story Apocalypse. And I had moved to Los Angeles, and I was staying with my friend Roy. And I just love apocalypse as a genre. Like, apocalypse, pre-apocalypse, post-apocalypse. I don't know why, but it's one of the most compelling ones for me. So I didn't see an entire American Horror Story all the way through until Apocalypse. But then, because I watched Apocalypse, I had to go back and watch Coven and The Murder House, because so much of Apocalypse ties from those two storylines, because the witches are in Apocalypse, and because Michael Langdon, who was born in a Horror Story House, whatever, the first one, he is an adolescent, a teenager, and an adult in Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So I found the lore very intriguing. I don't know how successful Apocalypse was, but it introduced me to the character of Queenie, who was introduced in Coven, and she's described as like a human voodoo doll. So anything she does, any kind of damage she does on her body appears in the body of another person. So she can take a hold of you and do all that kind of stuff. She met a very untimely end in Apocalypse. Then they reset the timeline and she was saved from going to the hotel. And I was like, oh, so she was in Hotel. Now I got to go watch Hotel. So that my entree into American Horror Story is Gabri Sidibe as Queenie. Like, she's the reason why I wanted to watch. She is such a long-suffering character. Like, she suffers so much in Coven. I feel like because of her ability is to suffer. So she has to cause pain on herself in order to, like, cause pain on other people. Like, she shoots herself in the head in Coven. So she's initially in the academy, and then she kind of gets ostracized from them and then hangs out with the voodoo queen. And then all those motherfuckers get killed by the witch hunters. And so she has to come back to the witches or whatever. And she's constantly being insulted by Madison, the Emma Roberts character. And then she, like, kind of finally makes a little bit of headway with Kathy Bates' racist ass character. And then she, like, betrays her too. So it's like Queenie never really got a great narrative, but she did get the narrative of a survivor. And she ultimately made it out to the very end of American Horror Story Apocalypse. So for that reason, I'm giving her Scream Queen this week. I think of all the characters in American Horror Story, she's died the most. Because she died in Coven, she died in Hotel, she died in Apocalypse, but ultimately lived to the very end. But I will say that that is a resilience and a strength that I look for in a Scream Queen.
Hear, hear.
Do you have any opinion about the American Horror Story?
I just second everything you say.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing here.
Are you watching the new ones?
Yeah. I think we're going to have to cover a few of those. I don't know exactly what is going on. There's American Horror Story, and then there's American Horror Stories. And they're doing a lot. But these horror stories, there's some really cool ones that they've done. The last one was called Feral, and it was fucked up. Mm-hmm. It was very fucked up.
Are you a Ryan Murphy fan?
Not particularly, but you know, he's managed to use his privilege to allow other people's work to shine. Mm-hmm. So I'm a fan of that.
Did you like Hollywood or Halston or American Crime Story? Or
I like the American Crime Stories. I like the OJ one. It was done really well. And the Versace one was dark, actually. I had no idea how dark that was going to get. Mm. But yeah, overall, like, you know, because his taste can go, it can just go out the window. I'm glad that he allowed Poe's to exist, you know, or helped for it to exist.
I was really, I remember back in the day when Scream Queen came out, his series with
Jamie Lee Curtis
and Emma Roberts and all them. Mm. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch this. And I remember, like, going with my friends. I lived in Brooklyn at the time, went to this bar, called Saloon, OK Saloon, something. It was a really fun, like, it was like a queer, like, Western bar. And they were playing it. And by the end of that first episode, I was like, oh.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what this is going to be.
Cute outfits and some cool kills, but that's about it.
It was so disappointing.
The story was terrible.
It was so
all over
bad.
The fucking place.
And that was, again, at the time, the only other Ryan Murphy I'd had was Murder House. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, Is he there to make everything bad?
Maybe.
So, Gabri Sidibe is Queenie. You're my screen queen this week.
Peace.
Scream Queen is brought to you by Alexander De Palma and Kenya Denise at Domino Sound. I am Drea Washington. You can find me on the gram at Hey Girl Hey. That's HeyGrlHey.
And I am Tommy Teebs Pico. You can also find me on Instagram, not on Twitter any longer, as Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs.
And in the scary movie of your life,
you better scream, queen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.